In Luke chapter 1, I want us to look this morning at these words of Zacharias. There is a Zechariah in the Old Testament. He's written a book, the book of the prophet Zechariah. If you're a Christian and one day in heaven you meet Zechariah and he asks you, "What did you think of the book I wrote in the Bible?" I hope you'll tell him something about his book. That's Zechariah in the Old Testament. This is Zacharias in the New Testament. It's the same name, Zechariah, Old Testament, Zacharias, New Testament. But obviously this is a different man now, many hundreds of years later. And in Luke chapter 1, he prophesies and starts by saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel." And from that we get this word, Benedictus. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel. What Zacharias said is based on an angel predicting to Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, who were both well advanced in years, that they would give birth to a son, John the Baptist. And that John the Baptist would be the forerunner, the messenger who would go before the Messiah. That John the Baptist would come and prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And we read in Luke chapter 1 that at first Zacharias didn't believe the angel. And so the power of speech was taken away from him for the 9 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. But when the baby was finally born, although it wasn't a name in the family, Elizabeth and Zacharias both said, "His name is John," just as the angel had instructed. And as Zacharias announced that name by writing it on a writing tablet, his speech was restored. And so it was a moment of joy. He held his son in his arms and he breaks forth in this prophecy, this song of praise to God. And that's the song we're looking at this morning in Luke chapter 1, verses 68 to 79. Now Zacharias was a priest. He was a priest steeped in the Old Testament scriptures. And as we read these words of Zacharias, his words reflect that Old Testament heritage. His song has echoes from the Psalms, from the prophets. In fact, it sounds in many places like the Old Testament. Parts of it sound strange to our ears. Perhaps it didn't sound like part of the New Testament when I read it to you. But one of the great values of this song is that this song reveals for us the faith of the Jewish people who were trusting in God and believing that he would keep his promise that the Messiah would come. So here is the faith of a believer on the eve of the Messiah's birth. For hundreds of years, the people of God had been waiting for the Messiah to come. And now at last, Zacharias believes the Messiah is coming. The Messiah is going to be born. The Messiah is almost here. So these words of Zacharias bring us to the edge that separates the Old Testament and the New Testament as he speaks of all, first of all, about the visitor from heaven. The visitor from heaven. We're on the eve of the incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ. So these words are uttered just a few months before Jesus' birth. And they take us to the heart of a man, a godly man, trusting in the Lord and believing that God would keep his promise to send the Messiah, a rescuer, a savior. They tell us what the coming of Jesus Christ meant to the people who had waited so long for the Messiah to come. And then the theme of Zacharias' prophecy, his song, is not hard to find. There's a word in verse 68 and in verse 78 that gives us an indication of what Zacharias is going to say. He starts, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited," there's the word I want you to notice, "visited and redeemed his people." And then in verse 78 he says, "The day spring from on high has visited us." Both times the word "visited," which means to visit personally. That's where the root of this word comes from. God is going to visit us personally, Zacharias is saying. It's the word Jesus used in Matthew 25, verse 36, when Jesus said, I was sick and you visited me. You personally visited me. The word was used in the Old Testament for God visiting his people to bring them blessing, but now Zacharias is saying, God is going to personally visit his people. He's going to personally visit. He's going to come himself. A visitor from heaven is going to come into this world. And it carries also the idea of seeing people in danger and personally intervening in order to save, to help, to rescue them. It's when you hear about someone who you care for, you love, and who's seriously ill. You don't just send them a card. You don't just call them on the phone. You personally visit. You are moved by that person's need. And so you personally visit them. And all that is on Zacharias' heart. At long last, he says, God is going to visit his people. At long last, God is going to keep his promise. At long last, God is going to arrive on the scene. A visitor from heaven is going to come and save us. And it's hard perhaps for us to grasp the magnitude of that thought. Because for Zacharias, for more than 400 long years, it was as if God had been silent. Jewish people appeared forgotten under Roman rule. An obscure province in the Roman Empire, overlooked. Over 400 years had passed since their last prophet, a man named Malachi. But, says Zacharias, now God is going to personally visit. God's promise that the Messiah will come to redeem his people. The day spring, which is a reference to the Messiah, the early light in the morning. The light of the world is coming to bring light and truth and forgiveness to those blinded by the darkness of sin. The Messiah is coming to establish peace, to restore us to a right relationship with God. The Messiah is coming to save all who put their trust in him. So as we are moving towards Christmas time, I wonder if these words of Zacharias are true in your heart and life and experience. Do you say this morning, God has personally visited me in salvation. I have known his forgiveness. I have known that light, Jesus Christ, come into my light, the light of the world, to scatter the darkness in my life and give me peace with God. That's the first thing Zacharias speaks of, the visitor from heaven. Do you know anything of a divine visit in your life? You say, God has come into my life, intervened in my life. A visitor from heaven has come by the work of the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The visitor from heaven. The second thing we see here is what we could call the flickering flame. Because amongst the people of God generally, there was this fear. Has God forgotten his people? Sometimes you may feel like that. You may think, has God forgotten me? Yes, the prophets had spoken of one who'd come from heaven. They'd spoken of one who'd be born of a virgin, born in royal David's city. One who'd come and sit on the throne of his father David and rule over the house of Jacob forever. They spoke of one who would rule the nations, one who would redeem his people, one who would come and save his people from their sins. They spoke of one whose name was called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But sometimes in our hearts too, doubts and fears arise. What if the prophets were wrong? What if it was not to be? What if it was just wishful thinking? So many years had come and gone. You may have been waiting on God, looking for grace and help and his promise for you, and you've wondered, has God forgotten me? The days, the months, the weeks have rolled on. And then the days of Zacharias, sons had buried their fathers, then sons had buried them, and their sons had buried them, and the generations had rolled on, and the visitor from heaven had not come. So many indignities on the Jewish people. An outside observer might have concluded, no chance. Perhaps God had given up on his people. The world powers, the Greeks, the Romans, Israel relegated to a second-class country whose best days were over. And yet there was this faithful remnant who spoke of the Messiah, the promise, the faithful God. But had God forgotten his people? Well, throughout the darkest of dark nights, there were that the people of God, the faithful remnant, who never gave up believing that God would surely somehow, sometime, some way keep his promise. Yes, the generations had come and gone, and many generations had passed without seeing it come to pass. But that hope of a divine visit had not completely disappeared. There was a flickering flame. A flickering flame of belief that God would visit his people and fulfill his promises. And Zacharias is saying, at last, now, the moment has arrived. As Zacharias looks at that infant son, he knows that a crucial moment in world history has arrived. Because in his arms, he's holding the baby who has come to prepare the way for the Lord. It must mean the Messiah is on his way. The long wait is over. God is going to visit his people. So the Benedictus is all about that great truth. God has visited his people. Do you believe this morning that Jesus is Emmanuel? God with us. A divine visitor. If you're a Christian, can you even say Emmanuel, God with me this morning? Jesus Christ, in my heart, in my life, has intervened, bringing me salvation. The visitor from heaven, the flickering flame. And then thirdly, the glorious news. The blessings that follow from this visit from heaven. A visitor from heaven has come. What do we know about this visitor? Well, the first fact, his saving purpose. What was the purpose for the coming of Jesus Christ into this world? He came to save his people from their sins, says Zacharias. Zacharias emphasizes God's saving purpose in four different ways. He has come to redeem his people. Verse 68. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Do you know anything about this morning? Redeemed. Rescued. Bought back, Jesus' blood shed to bring you to God. He has come to redeem his people. Verse 69, he has raised up a horn of salvation for us. That you've been saved. That's an old word, isn't it? Saved. But it's a Bible word. He has come to bring salvation. He has raised up a horn for salvation, says Zacharias. He has come to save us from our enemies, verses 71 and 74, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. I often think of that hymn that says, sin, my worst enemy before. When Jesus Christ comes back the second time, sin, my worst enemy before. If you're a Christian this morning, your worst enemy, sin. Putting death, sin to death, but it's an enemy. Sin, my worst enemy before, but on the return of Jesus Christ a second time, sin, my worst enemy before, shall vex my eyes and ears no more. My inward foes shall all be slain, nor Satan break my peace again. Jesus, the conqueror of the worst enemies. The great joy that Zechariah speaks about here in verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. He has come to provide forgiveness of sins. We believe in the forgiveness of sins. Are your sins forgiven? Zechariah is telling us God did not visit this planet to see how we were doing. He knew how we were doing. That's why Jesus Christ came. We were in trouble. And he came to save us. That's what Christmas is about. A saviour is come. So the first fact, his saving purpose. Fact two, his predicted fulfillment. As a godly Jew, Zacharias can't get over the fact God has kept his promises. All the promises of the Messiah. Verse 70, promised by the prophets, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. Verse 70. This promise that was cherished by past believing generations. Verse 72. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. It was guaranteed by oath to Abraham. Verses 72 and 73. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham. God is doing what he promised. The prophets saw it coming, says Zacharias. They knew the day would come when God would visit his people. Micah spoke about it. Isaiah spoke about it. Jeremiah spoke about it. Even Abraham looked forward to that day. David looked forward. King David looked forward to that day. They all saw it coming. They all looked down through the corridors of history and saw a glimpse of the day that would come when God would visit his people. They didn't know exactly when it would happen, but they knew it was coming. You see, that truth leads us to a great conclusion about Jesus Christ this morning. The preparations for his coming indicate to us there is something about his coming which is unique, special, different. Here's the big event of history. All that came before pointed to the coming of Jesus Christ. All that comes after looks back to the coming of Jesus Christ. He's at the center of history. It's the birth of Jesus Christ that gives us the crux, the pivot, the hinge of history. And if you want proof of it this morning, what year is it? If I asked you, what's the date today? You'd say 17th December 2023. Where do we get 2023 from? 2023 years after the birth of the visitor, after the birth of Jesus. We don't do that for Confucius or Buddha or Muhammad or Zoroaster. We don't do it for any other great world leader. We don't do it for anyone else, ancient or modern. How important is Jesus Christ? We measure time by his coming into the world. Even unbelievers in London this morning pay unconscious tribute to Jesus Christ every time they look at the calendar. 2023. 2023 after what? After the coming of Jesus. Zacharias is saying God has visited this world. He's come in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. Nothing will ever be the same again. His saving purpose, his predicted fulfillment. Fact three, his transforming power. God changes the lives of those who trust and follow Jesus Christ. Verses 74 and 75 tell us something about this transformation. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. There is emotional transformation, that we might serve him without fear. There is a right fear of God, but there is also a fear of sin and death and guilt and shame and condemnation, which Jesus Christ removes when he comes into a person's life. And when he comes into a person's life, there is ethical transformation in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. and there is spiritual transformation, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. There are so many people in London this morning living lives in quiet desperation. Many fears. No answer to the question, where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? Zacharias makes the answers clear. Jesus Christ came into this world as the divine visitor to save his people, that you may know the joyful friendship of God, and that you might serve God without fear. Here's God's great purpose, that Jesus Christ came to save you, that you might fulfill the highest calling in the universe, serving God without fear in righteousness and holiness forever. He came for you this morning, if you're not yet a Christian, if you feel lost, broken in sin. He came to save you, that you might be lifted up to know God and brought into the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Don't live for the worthless idols of this world. Serve God, your creator. And he came that you might otherwise fear death, that you might serve God without fear. He came so that you who would otherwise live in fear of sin and punishment might be completely forgiven. For Jesus Christ came to lay down his life upon the cross. The manger of Bethlehem led to the cross of Calvary, led to the open tomb. Jesus Christ, the mighty Saviour, to transform, to change a person's life, that you might be counted righteous before God. When you believe upon Jesus Christ, there is this double imputation, this change, this transformation. You trust in Jesus Christ, and by faith in him, it's just as if you had never sinned. And you trust in Jesus Christ, his righteousness is put to your account. It's just as if you'd lived a righteous life. Are you right before God? By faith in Jesus Christ, just as if you'd never sinned. By faith in Jesus Christ, just as if you'd lived a righteous life. That's the transforming power of Jesus Christ, who comes into this world as its Saviour. His saving purpose, his predicted fulfillment, his transforming power. Now his prepared forerunner. That's the significance of that infant Zacharias was holding in his arms. In verses 76 and 77, Zacharias speaks to his son directly, his little baby son, of course, and makes predictions about this son. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. You will be the prophet of God, Zacharias says to John the Baptist. You will prepare the way of the Lord. You will proclaim the knowledge of salvation by preaching the forgiveness of sins. And that is exactly what John the Baptist did. His whole mission was to make the people ready for the coming of the Messiah. He was a prophet, a preparer of the way, a preacher of salvation. And he began by going to the desert region around the Jordan River and preaching the doctrine of repentance from sin. And crowds of men and women flocked to hear his message. And many heard and believed. He baptized many people and prepared the way for the coming of the Lord. And then one day, along the banks of that river, John the Baptist saw Jesus. And he cried out, "Behold," he said, "behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now at this moment, as Zacharias prophesies and sings, John the Baptist is just 8 days old. But his father sees the work God has called his son to do. John the Baptist was the man God chose to prepare the way for the promised Messiah. Zacharias saw it. And he includes this infant, this baby son, in his song of praise to God. Here's the messenger. Here's the forerunner. Here's the one who's come to prepare the way for the Messiah. The Messiah's coming. Which leads me to fact 5, his liberating impact. Jesus Christ coming into the world, it is light to those who are in darkness, he says. If you feel this morning in your life there's a darkness, who can show you the way to peace with God, the way to know God in a real way in your life, to guide you in the paths of peace? Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Light and pardon. Pardon to those condemned to death. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our sin brings judgment and death. How can we know pardon from God? Through faith in Jesus Christ, a just pardon from a holy God that brings guidance to those who have lost their way. It's as if Zacharias pictures a huge caravan, a trail of camels and people journeying, moving slowly through the Middle Eastern desert. And the caravan has lost its way. And it's nighttime, it's in the darkness. And during the night, the enemies are drawing near and making ready to attack. Death is not far away. And then at the darkest moment of night, at the most dangerous moment, when all hope seems lost, suddenly a light shines. And the enemies are scattered, and the darkness is scattered, and death is scattered. And the people see the path they'd lost. They see the darkness dispersed. They resume their journey. They're confident they're going the right way. Light has dawned. That's the difference Jesus Christ makes in your life, says Zacharias. When he comes into your life, the shadows flee away. When he comes into your life, you find the path you'd lost forever. Who is the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus Christ alone. When he comes into your life, there is pardon for sin and despair is gone. You find the path of peace. The dayspring from on high has visited us, he says. Has Jesus Christ visited your life? Come into your life, changed your life? Is Jesus Christ the light in your darkness? The long hard night of sin is over because a new day has dawned in your experience. Glory and light and freedom and hope. Through faith in Jesus Christ. Are you challenged this morning? Are you encouraged by Zechariah's words? I know there are some this morning who find that there is a heartache, even a grumble perhaps, against God. Difficulties, trials, hard circumstances. Sometimes in our lives there can be a sense of, has God forgotten us? Has God forgotten me? Sometimes behind that, there can be a pride in the human heart that says, we know what we want when we want it, and we don't want these difficult circumstances. And so there's an anger or a discouragement or a complaining. There can be sinful emotions as well as godly emotions, joy, peace, love, in Jesus Christ. I'm saying this morning, yield to the God who is all wise. Let's humble ourselves before the God who has visited this earth, the Saviour from sin, the dayspring in our darkness. And sometimes when it feels as if God is far away, suddenly a light surprises the Christian on his way. The dayspring appears. The light scatters the darkness. Let's trust that God will bring that sense of guidance and peace and mercy to those who feel that God is far away this morning. As we look at these words of Zacharias, it helps us to think about these next few weeks in a new way. Nothing like this had ever happened before. A divine visitor. It's never happened since. God visiting. Come to save his people from their sins. Come to release you from your fears. Come to guide you into the paths of peace. So these words of Zacharias, therefore, you and for me this morning, And so we ask ourselves this morning, I want to ask you, do you believe it really happened? A divine visitor. Do you believe that Jesus Christ came into this world with you in mind? Have you ever entered into the things Zacharias talks about? Have these words of Zacharias become words not just for him, but for you? That you can say Jesus Christ has intervened in your life. Now, this world is telling us Christmas is only a week away. Jingle bells rock. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Let's wrap the presents. Let's stand under the mistletoe. But if that's all that Christmas is, you miss the celebration. Our society says Christmas is all about the trinkets of this world. Zacharias is reminding us Christmas is about the transcendent truth. God has visited his people. All the rest is just window dressing. The adverts keep telling us there are only 7 shopping days left till Christmas Day. But Zacharias is reminding us there are 7 trusting days, praising days, singing days, worshipping days till Christmas. How are you going to spend the next 7 days? Let's put the dominant theme of Zacharias' song clearly in our minds and hearts and lives. God has visited his people. God has visited his people in the person of Jesus Christ. And you see, in the gospel, the same divine visitor comes and knocks at the door of your life and mine this morning. Will you turn from sin and receive Jesus Christ, the divine visitor? Receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life by faith. He comes and knocks at the door. Like Zacharias, will you welcome into your life? Or you say, oh, I'm too busy to be bothered with Jesus. Too busy to think about God visiting his people. Too busy to think about this God who is not a distant God, but who comes near this morning through his word and by the Holy Spirit. Or if I put it in a personal way, do you believe that God has shown his strength to save you through his son, Jesus Christ? Do you believe he loves you and has redeemed you from the fire of God's judgment? Do you believe he saved you from your enemies, your worst enemies, sin and death and the devil? Do you trust this divine rescuer this morning? Do you surrender your life to Jesus Christ? Listen to how Philip Brooks in his hymn puts it. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. And so he does. Many of you have that testimony this morning. You have received him, and the dear Christ has entered into your life and brought salvation and transformation and rescue. And may that be your experience this morning, the dear Christ entering in, peace with God, a rescuer, a divine visitor. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray. How we praise you, Lord, for this divine visit. God the Son coming into this world to bring salvation. We thank you that where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. We thank you for those whose testimony is this morning, that even in difficult circumstances, even in the trials and troubles and sorrows of this life, Jesus Christ enters in this morning and brings peace that this world cannot give to the believing heart. And for some for the first time, Lord, we pray in the word of the gospel, where meek souls will receive him, Christ will enter in even today, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we bring you praise and worship and thanks. Accept our praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing as a closing hymn number 211, and it has that refrain at its last verse. Philip Brooks writes a song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and he says in verse 3, no ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. So we'll stand to sing 211, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Let's pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and with all the people of God today and forevermore. Amen.